Engaging conversation on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Director of Priests for Life, welcome to Just Ask Janet. Well, do you realize that anyone who is born after January 22nd, 1973, which is the date of those two terrible Supreme Court decisions, Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton, that you're a survivor? That's right. You survived abortion because the laws in our country no longer protected you. At least when I was born, you know, the government protected my life. My parents couldn't kill me by aborting me. There were laws protecting me. But from January 22nd, 1973, that was it. Boom. No more protection for the unborn babies. Well, today we're going to find out about the survivors and what these young people are doing to change hearts and minds and bring an end to abortion. So joining me today is a great gentleman. His name is A.J. Hurley, and he's the brand new executive director of the Survivors. So, A.J., welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Janet. I'm incredibly happy to be here. So, thank you.
Well, I'm glad to have you. So why don't you give us your background a little bit? How did you get connected with the Survivors and get appointed now as the new executive director? So give us your background a little
bit. That's a great question. I very unlikely series of events that happened, but I have a history and background in the medical field. I'm actually a pediatric neonatal respiratory therapist. I work for a major UC hospital, and I just did that. And I've been a Christian my whole life and saw this huge discrepancy between the babies that we were saving and putting on these ventilators and the gestational ages of those children versus the ones that were being aborted and in the womb. So I didn't see any consistency in regards to the laws and everything that was placed. So that gave me a huge heart to just investigate this further. And I started getting involved with pro-life activism, sidewalk counseling, everything. And ultimately a documentary on abortion that's coming out. But through that documentary, I ended up being introduced to Jeff White. And then that's how I got to be introduced to Survivors and just thought it was an incredible organization. So here I am, the director, it is a year later. So kind of crazy how God works, but yeah, that's kind of what happened.
So have you left that other job as a respiratory therapist in the NICU?
No, I still work part-time at that hospital. So yeah,
that's great. So I just have to ask, you a NICU question now. Sure. In the NICU, for your experience, what is the youngest preemie gestational age that you have put on a ventilator to help that baby survive and breathe?
Well, not me personally, but I know that the youngest that has ever survived in is 20 weeks that they put on.
Wow.
On a baby on a ventilator to survive. So we work on 22, 23 weekers quite frequently. I'm not in that area of
right.
Personally, but yeah, I work more with cardiac kids, the preemies that come out with cardiac anomalies. And so we have a area of the PICU called PICU CT that I kind of take care of. So
right. But that's still incredible, right, AJ? I mean, little baby, 20 weeks, they're like barely in the palm of your hand, right? I mean, seriously.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And that baby survives and ends up growing up and having a normal life.
Yeah. And not only survives, but I mean, it's ironically, it's protected by the law of the land. And so what's that all about, right? Why is this, what's different in the intrinsic value of this baby because it's wanted versus the one that's unwanted, you know?
Right. Yeah.
We can't kill this just simply because of mere fiat decision of another individual. So what,
right.
You know, what's with that?
So now Survivors, of course, I know was founded by Jeff White. Oh my gosh, I think it's been over two decades, hasn't it? I mean, I think Survivors has been around since the 90s, as far as I remember, right?
Oh man, there I tell Jeff he's the original gangster, so to speak, of the pro-life movement, man. He's OG, as they call it in the streets. So yeah, he's him and Cheryl are absolute heroes. And man, they've been around since the beginning. I don't know if you remember Jeff White he was the West Coast director of Operation Rescue back in the day.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
Yeah, he's got quite the rap sheet on him. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've known Jeff. I first got involved heavily in the pro-life movement with Father Pavone in 1990. I actually attended a rescue out in New York, so I kind of... I wasn't part of the rescuers. I was doing the side work counseling while they had blocked the clinic, but I'm very aware of all that work and the good babies that were saved back in those days.
Oh,
but
yeah.
The Survivors that now is basically focusing on what I just described. Anyone born in after 73 is a survivor, but you're really working with the young people, aren't you? Like high school age kids is the main group you're working with. And you train up these kids, don't you, to be activists? Tell us a little bit about your work.
Well, that's exactly what you said is exactly right. We focus, we're a youth organization, and we focus on training. I mean, if we don't get young people involved, then we won't have a movement. And it's the left is training up the other side to be viciously pro-choice. And so if we do not invest in the future, we won't have anything to offer, and we won't be doing any damage in terms of ending legislation that destroys infants in the womb. So we just think that it's vital to train and to equip, and actually what's unique about Survivors is we actually go out and do hands-on training, hands-on activism with the young children. And we love it because these kids are brave, man. I mean, these kids will do things and boldly without reservation that I can't get my fellow, you know, 30 somethings to do at all. So it's amazing what they will do.
I can tell you, AJ, I have spent some summers out there at your training camp with Jeff and Cheryl, actually when we were out in LA. And I remember one of the activities the kids do, first of all, there's several they do. They do the chalking, pro-life chalking, where they write
ninja chalking.
Yep. Ninja. Abortion stops a beating heart. But these kids were chalking. I mean, in these heavily trafficked, what you would consider more like pro-abortion areas, in Hollywood, on the streets there, and they were doing pro-life chalking. But I'll never forget when I was with the young people, and we were, I think, in one of those Huntington Beach piers or something, you know, the piers that go out into the water.
Yep.
And they had the signs of the victims of abortion, the Face the Truth signs. And they were spread out all along the pier that went out to a big pavilion out there where people were gathering to eat and party. And the traffic that went, and these young kids just boldly held those signs.
Yeah.
And they were looking right in the eyes of these grownups and engaging them in conversations. And I was like, I was so proud to be with these kids. It was like amazing. Because what we would do is, and I guess you could describe it, they would get up early in the morning, have their breakfast, and we would give them a pro-life talk, like a pep talk. Mm-hmm. And then after lunch, load them into the vans, and out we would go onto the streets. I mean, to me, it was an incredible experience.
So we've been up at, we just, like you said, we have every summer we have a youth camp that we do. This time it was up in San Francisco. And so we educate the kids about, you know, how to talk about abortion, what it is, educate them on the whole process, and then just how to address the counter arguments. And man, it's just so amazing to see these little kids. I mean, they get it, they understand it, they digest it. And then, man, this last summer, some of these girls that we trained up, I just had to step back and just let them loose, because they were just destroying the women and the men that were trying to make pro-choice arguments. and they would just completely obliterate the position. And it was so powerful, not only because they understood it and was self-evident, but because of the fact that they're young. I mean, if you are a person who is talking to a child, children understand what other children are going through. And so these children have a special connection, I think, to the unborn, and have a very powerful message to communicate that in a way that adults can't. You know, it's very hard to look into the eyes of a child when they're telling you truth about what's in the womb, and to tell that child that they're wrong. It's their message, and that they have to bring to the table here is incredibly powerful and unbelievably important. So yeah, that's why we focus on the youth, man. It's been said, and it's quaint, but they are the future, and they are the next generation. If we don't focus on them, we will not have we won't have a movement. So right. The old guard needs to train the young guard, and so that's what we're all about.
Well, I'll look forward to hopefully getting out there next summer, Father Pavone and I, to give some talks and participate with the young people. Now, you have a great website, survivors.la, and the reason, brothers, is why it's .la, because that's where Survivors first was founded, was out in Los Angeles, which when you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Where are the abortion capitals in America? New York and California,
yeah,
right? New York City and LA, abortion capitals. And so it's survivors.la. You can go to their website. You can get all the information they have. And you can maybe think about signing up. If you have a teenager, this is a great activity to think about sending them to next summer, because they're going to really, really learn how to discuss this issue. And when you do that hands-on training for them, I find it fascinating, because they really learn how to, in a very calm way, they just come out with one fact after the next in a very calm way. And I think what happens is, for these grownups who are very pro-choice walking by them, it's hard to argue with a kid, yeah, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Totally. Yeah, no, it's just like, I mean, everything I said, the only, I guess, key difference between what we're doing and a lot of other organizations is we're actually bringing these kids into activism. We're having them do it. And that's, in my experience, is makes all the difference. Is you can be pro-life in theory and a name, and you can have all the rhetoric and everything down, but if you're not actually getting out there and being an example of what it really means to engage with the community, then you're not really training. And so that's what's unique about Survivors. And honestly, that's what drew me to Survivors, is I just think that we are the only real youth organization that's getting kids involved in a way that they're actually doing the activism and they're making the difference. And we're seeing just incredible changes in what's going on. And these kids are just absolutely amazing what they're doing. We just did a huge sit-in 2 months ago with Live Action and Pro-Life San Francisco in San Francisco at the health department there. And it was just amazing to see the kids be active and speak up and to stand up for the unborn, and the powerful message that they have, I believe, is so overlooked and just tragically overlooked by our cohorts.
And I think that the thing about San Francisco is, and you, I know your group, along with Pro-Life San Francisco, drew a lot of attention to the fact, you know, David DeLayden did a lot about exposing Planned Parenthood selling fetal baby parts. Okay. Yep. But then there are organizations up there that are still doing it, right? Even though the government says you shouldn't be doing it, they're still doing it. There's proof that they're doing it. And I think you guys had demonstrations out in front of some of those organizations to really point the finger to say it's still happening here. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so that's what Survivors is really, that's our niche, that's our forte now, is we are attacking fetal organ harvesting. The major hub for fetal organ harvesting right now is at UCSF. UCSF is the major...
Yeah, that's Alphabet City. What's UCSF?
Sorry. The UCSF is the University of California, San Francisco. So Zuckerberg Hospital is the place where that a lot of this is going on. So they, David Dalyden was incredible in exposing a lot of this and the behind the scenes of what's happening. But basically, institutions like UCSF are applying for federal research grants through the NIH. Fauci is behind a lot of this, and it's interesting how that's kind of come full circle. But the NIH is giving federal tax dollars to these institutions. These institutions then are acquiring fetal organ fetal organs for these research projects that they have acquired, and then using your tax dollars to pay for the organs of these late and even born alive abortions that are taking place. It's the sickest aspect of pro-life or pro-life, pro-choice craziness that's going on right now. And it is absolutely disgusting, barbaric, and it needs to be stopped. So Survivors, we are full forced in this fight with UCSF right now. I was arrested a couple weeks ago for literally just illegally arrested for sitting on the public hospital property and distributing literature. So we are in a huge fight with UCSF to stop what's going on, because this the wickedness is unparalleled in our nation's history.
And what people have to understand is that during the Trump administration, NIH was pro-life, right? And Trump did everything he could with executive order to turn the faucet off of our tax dollars going in these directions, yeah, of curtailing this activity. But now with the Biden administration, it's like the floodgates are opened up, right? And they're saying, yeah, here's the money, here's the permission, keep killing the babies, yeah, keep harvesting their organs for your research. It's okay, right? I mean, that's the situation we're in right now. And thank you to the survivors, you're still shining a spotlight on the evil, mm-hmm, that's going on there.
It's precisely, I mean, right, Janet. Yeah, that's exactly what's going on. So, you know, Trump had signed the Born Alive Infant Act. And so we were really hoping that that could be the impetus to end this from a federal level and also shed light and get some accountability to these institutions and institutions of higher learning. But unfortunately, that was one of the first things that that Biden, when he got in office, put an end to, and kind of reversed all of these pro-life laws that Trump put in place. He was by far the most pro-life president we have ever had, even more so than Reagan. And so, yeah, but there is little to no accountability, and what is happening is just barbaric, and nobody is doing anything about it. And so at this point, Survivors really feels like we need to stand in the gap and interpose on behalf of these born alive babies. And I can go into that whole born alive thing, but that's been exposed through David Dalyden. And we actually know that they're doing this at UCSF also. And so I'm not going to stop until this ends. And we're going to keep going back and facing arrest each time until this is stopped.
Yeah. And when they are arresting you, actually, it's basically an illegal arrest, because you have the right to stand on a public sidewalk and hand out literature. I mean, that's being an American, and arresting you is actually going against that. So it's great that you're training up the young people, you're doing that, but you're also going to participate in, tell us about October 2nd in Washington, D.C., in front of the Supreme Court. There's a big prayer rally that you're going to participate in too. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, Pat Mahoney, Reverend Pat Mahoney, and also Priest for Life, I believe, is going, mm-hmm, to be putting on this huge prayer rally. We believe that prayer is the, I mean, I think it was it Corrie ten Boom that said that prayer is the steering wheel, right? It shouldn't be your spare tire. It should be your steering wheel. And so, if the life force of the Holy Spirit is not moving us, we will labor in vain. And so unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who try it all. And so we are just want to get every pro-life pastor, every pro-life leader, every American that loves babies and wants to speak out against injustice to beseech God before the throne to end the slaughter of innocent life. And this is huge because the Dobbs case will be heard in October at some point. We don't know the exact date, but October 1st and 2nd, we are getting together at the Supreme Court to beg them and beg the Lord to do something to end Roe v. Wade with this incredible Dobbs decision. That's
right. And so that everyone understands, the Supreme Court at the end of June, they give out the last of their decisions and then they take the whole summer off into September. So on Monday, October 4th is the date they go back into session. The Supreme Court is back at work. And that's why you're storming heaven on Saturday, October 2nd with prayer. Because exactly. Like you're mentioning, this Mississippi versus Dobbs case, this whole Supreme Court case, brothers and sisters, is definitely going to be heard sometime this year in the Supreme Court. And this is a real important case because they're taking up the question of viability. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea in Roe v. Wade, viability wasn't even part of the oral arguments. It wasn't part of the decision when it was originally written. It was kind of thrown in as a thought, like a sentence near the end, but it wasn't part of the oral arguments. And so for them to now take this case about viability and be willing to hear the case, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, but I guarantee you we won't know till the end of June. When the case is heard, you know, it could be in October, it could be in November. We're not sure exactly when they're going to schedule the oral arguments to occur. But I think it's brilliant to come in front of that Supreme Court on October 2nd and pray, pray that God will just intervene in the hearts of the justices. I think, AJ, we have a good inkling that maybe their hearts are going to be open, and we have to keep praying that they're open even more. Because as you know, the Texas law, the heartbeat bill down in Texas, the pro-aborts tried to block that law, and the justices in the Supreme Court, and what they said was, we're going to let the law stay for now. We're not going to intervene. That was a good signal, I felt, that those new justices, the three new justices that Trump put in, they all voted with us on the pro-life side. And so I'm very hopeful that this might be the first really big push or chink in the armor of really overturning Roe v. Wade, which, by the way, it will not end abortion, brothers and sisters, like the pro-aborts are telling you. They act like, oh my gosh, oh, this will be the end of legal abortion in America. No. What it will do is it will do what happened before Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton. It'll throw it back to each state. So, of course, AJ, you're in the state of California where they have laws already on their books. They want to kill babies to birth. Up in New York, they passed laws to kill babies till birth. And there's a few others, a handful of other states. But by and large, by overturning Roe v. Wade, you will put the rights to each state to decide to regulate abortion. And I think that's really what our founding fathers were about, states' rights over federal government. You know, it wasn't supposed to be top down. It was supposed to be bottom up, that the local government was supposed to control. So I think for the first time in our lives here, AJ, we've got a chance, we're never going to erase abortion, but I think we've got a real shot at really bringing a big limit onto abortion. I'm very excited about it.
Yeah.
So I guess you're going to be in Washington then on October 2nd, right?
I will be there. And you know, one thing that you said about viability in terms of this whole debate that is so essential that I wanted to make a point to say was viability is going to be incredibly huge for fetal organ harvesting. in terms of ending that, because if the Supreme Court can address that issue of viability, one way that these states like California are getting away with live birth abortions for fetal organ harvesting is they are this nebulous definition of what viability is. And so, you know, viability really, there's no clear cut definition. And that's why on a lot of these David DeLayden expose videos that they will outright say that there's no definition as to what viability is. And so we can do whatever we want. So even though this Dobbs case, worst case scenario, it kicks it back to, or best case scenario, however you want to look at it, it kicks it back to the states. Well, that's going to be huge if they can address the issue of viability, because if they can define viability, we can actually stop this barbaric experiments of fetal organ harvesting.
And see what you just said in the very beginning of this interview, viability is a moving target, because if you talked about 10 years ago, well, viability back then must have been about 27, 28 weeks in gestation. Now we've gotten it all the way down to, we've had babies, like you just said, can survive at 20 weeks. So viability is constantly moving down, down, down this way, that younger and younger babies born prematurely do survive successfully with no damage to them. So, well, I want to remind people, AJ, that you have a great website. It's survivors.la. Brothers and sisters, you want to support the work of this group. It's amazing. It gets young people involved, and it's just a great way to pave the future of bringing an end to abortion in our lifetime so these young people can get out there. And I'm getting a little tired, AJ, so I think I would like to have some young people taking over and helping out.
Right? We can help you out with that.
Okay. Well, give my best to Cheryl Conrad and all the survivor team over there, and tell them you can count on Priest for Life and Father Frank Pavone and myself to be out at the next big training event, hopefully, God willing, next summer. So thanks for joining me today.
You got it. Absolutely.
Thank you. Well, brothers and sisters, thank you too for joining me on this program. And I hope you have been inspired about how the young people are getting involved and how you can go to their website, survivors.la. You young people that want to get involved in this movement, this is a great group for them to join. So thank you for joining me on Just Ask Janet. Until next time, Janet Morena, Executive Director of Priest for Life. And remember, there are some abortions only you can stop and some lives only you can save. Join me again next time. God bless.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.